Welcome to the first of two chapels dedicated to hearing from our summer cross-cultural groups. I'm Brian Martin Burkholder, a university campus pastor and coordinator of the University Chapel program, along with several students who serve on the chapel planning team. And in this role, I'd like to welcome two groups, the group that traveled to Mexico, some for 3 weeks and some for six, and also the group that traveled to New Zealand, and that was 6 weeks, wasn't it? I thought so. The Mexico group is first and immediately followed by New Zealand, so I welcome you to the stage.
Good morning, everybody. I am presenting this speech on behalf of Lindsay Turner, who is unable to be here due to her new career that she got over the summer. So praise the Lord for that. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump right on into it. It's entitled Becoming a Sponge. The summer 2015 cross-cultural journey to Mexico was rapidly approaching. As I was stressing about my senior year of college, to be truthful, the cross-cultural was just a stepping stone to my degree, a speed bump, and a stop in the road. I did not really care too much about it besides the fact that one of my good friends was going and I was going to be getting 3 weeks off from work. I am going to be 100% honest. My mindset was, I cannot wait to teach the Mexican people about the U.S. culture and they will have so much more to learn from me. Matter of fact, I was talking to a girl who had just got back from Chiloé Islands in Chile, and when I told her my mindset, she was shocked. She said to me, if you humble yourself down and become a sponge, you will learn so much from the people in Mexico that you won't need to be a teacher. It took me a while to fathom what she said to me, become a sponge? What does that even mean? I spent the next few days trying to understand how to become a sponge. Then, like a ton of bricks, I realized I was being completely selfish, arrogant, and self-centered. I knew it was going to be a journey becoming a sponge, as I am the typical learn from me American. As we departed for Mexico, we were on a four-hour delay in Dulles and arrived in Mexico City around 12 a.m. We then bused to Puebla, where our host family stood to greet us. Leanne and I were completely worn out, and to make matters worse, our host family greeted us but could not speak English. We literally cried when we got to our no-air-conditioned home, wondering how are we going to do this for 3 weeks. At the Institute, we were forced to speak only Spanish, as well as in our host homes, and in Puebla, there are not many English speakers. The true meaning of becoming a sponge happened on day 4. Leanne and I were assigned to bus 77A. Unbeknownst to us, the buses run two separate ways, and we ended up on the wrong route, which left us approximately an hour walk from our host home. We were scared, tired, and panicked. We became more at ease when we realized those folks were our friends. Every street we took, a kind person was willing to point us in our right direction. Another example was on day 10 when Leanne and I boarded the bus with our books in one hand, purses in the other, and trying to carry a big bag of laundry. While standing on the crowded bus, a kind lady looked at me and said, "Déjame tomar tu bolsa," let me hold your bag. I handed her the bag, but my arrogant side was worried the whole time that I may never see my laundry again. Meanwhile, two kind people stood up and told us to take their seats. I was humbled. In the United States, nobody gives up their seat at 7 a.m. morning to strangers. Then, at the end of the bus ride, the kind lady handed us our bag of laundry, and I felt ashamed of myself for thinking that someone who was willing to lend a helping hand to strangers would steal. Throughout the next 2 weeks, I found myself wide-eyed at dinner to every story Lorena and Alvarado told me. I wanted to know all the history of Mexico. I could not get enough learning of the language. By last day of trip, I was a huge sponge that had absorbed everything that I could. My advice to those who have not yet taken a cross-cultural is to become a sponge, to become willing to learn that the people of other cultures have to offer, because you can take that anywhere you go with you in life. I myself and Profe can agree that becoming a sponge is not easy. Do not view your cross-cultural as an EMU requirement, but rather see it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I truly thought 3 weeks before my trip that I would be rejoicing when the plane landed in Dulles on May 25th, but I fought back the tears as the plane landed. The steps to becoming a sponge: drop the ego, do not think your culture is the best culture, drop all racism, which is truthfully really hard for each and every one of us in our own way, and learn as much as you can in the time you're given. Please, if you have not taken anything from the speech, listen to the words of a friend of mine. If you humble yourself down and become a sponge, you will learn so much from other people. Thank you.
When Profe first sent out the email asking for people to volunteer to speak in chapel, I immediately deleted it. And I said, I'm not going to do that. Someone else can speak. And then a couple of weeks later, he emailed me and specifically asked if I would be the second person to speak. I agreed, but I did it in such a way that he knew I was making a huge sacrifice for him. So when I sat down to figure out what exactly it was I wanted to say, I realized that this experience of speaking in this space really encompassed the whole theme of Mexico for me. I am a hardcore introvert, so everything about being in Mexico was really challenging for me. I was surrounded by a group of mostly strangers, a couple of them I had maybe waved at on the sidewalk, but I didn't really feel like I could be vulnerable or open with any of them. Also, in the first couple of weeks especially, I felt like I didn't have very much alone time, which was really important to me to decompress and process everything. I'm also from the middle of nowhere, and so the city, Puebla, where we were staying at, was this huge metropolitan city that was really intimidating to me. I was also surrounded by a language that I could only understand a fraction of the time and had a very hard time making myself be understood to others. There was also new food and new culture, and some of it I really loved and others of it I really didn't like very much. I also struggled with sickness at the end of the trip, as did many of my companions. And the Friday before we went home, I received news that my grandfather had died. And so I was alone. I felt alone in this country and with this grief and this weight and all of this uncertainty, and I didn't know what to do with it. In chapter 2 of the Meditations on the Beatitude book that we read for our cross-cultural class, the beatitude that was talked about is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And Don Clymer goes on to say, "The kingdom of God values people who share their hurts and pains openly with others and God. They are comforted and find a deep, soul-satisfying joy." So when I was looking over my time in Mexico, I was remembering this uncertainty and remembering this heaviness and grief, but I was also remembering pockets of joy and comfort that I found in unexpected places, whether it was a conversation that I had with someone where I could understand what they were saying and they could understand what I was saying, and that was exciting, or whether I got to some place by myself without getting lost or feeling afraid. There were also times when my host mom would talk to me, and even if I didn't understand every single word that she was saying, I could understand the emotions and the sentiments behind it, and I felt loved and accepted. So as I think back over these times, I think not just of the uncertainty and the difficulty of it, but I also think of how important it is to be open and vulnerable with other people and with God, and that as a result of that, we will receive comfort and receive soul-satisfying joy. Thanks.
Everyone. Oh, excuse me. Welcome. That's welcome in Maori. My name is Kaylee, and I'm one of the 23 students that went to New Zealand this summer on the New Zealand Summer 2015 Cross-Cultural. We spent 6 weeks traveling from the north to the South Island, stopping in many different places of interest, homestay families, and many other places you can go in New Zealand. And the focuses of the trip were conservation biology and Maori culture.
Hi, my name is Diana Mendoza. In New Zealand, we learned and accomplished many things. We embarked on a lot of crazy hikes and traveled the entire country in only 6 weeks. We focused on two major themes during the trip, the indigenous Maori culture and the conservation issues that New Zealand faces. The Maori culture is focused on family and nature. We were welcomed onto their marais and they treated us like family. A marae is a meeting place where the local tribes gather for special events like weddings and funerals. Whenever we were welcomed onto marae, it was a sacred event because you can only enter into a marae if they welcomed you or invited you in. There is a certain ritual that has to occur before you can enter. Once you are invited into the marae, you are part of their family and always welcome. The Maori people are connected to nature. They value it, they respect it, and are strong advocates of protecting the native plants and animals. Some of the animals that are causing the extinction of native plants and animals are possums and stoats. They both reproduce quickly and have no natural predators, which causes them to bring the native species of New Zealand to the brink of extinction. Finding the proper way to conserve the native species of New Zealand, as well as control the population of possums and stoats, is a hot topic of debate in New Zealand. One of the highlights of our trip was learning a sacred anthem of the Apa Nui tribe on the East Coast. We would like to perform it for you now. It's called Engaiwie. Thank you.
My name is Caitlin Rendazzo, and I'm going to share with you a personal reflection from the trip. The weeks leading up to June 1st were riddled with self-doubt, anxiety, excitement, and anticipation. I made a pact to say yes to as many adventures and opportunities that God laid before me. I was not expecting to be tested on the second day. We went on a tramp or a hike unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. We had to wade through waist-deep water, crawl on our stomachs to get into a cave, and cross a rock wall by holding onto a chain over the course of 6 hours while it was raining on and off over a mountain and across a black sand beach. Afterwards, I reflected on everything we accomplished and wrote a brief story using haikus. It's called The Death Hike of Doom. 12 kilometers. The path is unforgiving. You will sink or swim. My knees creak and ache, my breath heavy in my chest. I slip in the mud. It rains on and off. The path gets more treacherous. God is testing me. The death hike of doom. It's physically degrading, my spirit shaken. The tramp continues. Each step towards my death, my soul breaking free. I finally die. A new Caitlin emerges filled with God's glory. I finished the hike. I look the same as before, yet different somehow. I am not the same. So I call it a death hike because I am reborn. God was with me through the most difficult parts of the trek, and then rewarded perseverance with the most incredible views of his creation. Every hardship I've experienced has prepared me to better appreciate and find the beauty in his creation. I feel reborn in the sense that I finally feel alive and connected to him. Since the hike, we've met incredible people and have had countless adventures discovering his world. I feel a spiritual connection to the people around me and the land we steward because of this trip. New Zealand revitalized my spirituality and has encouraged me to see the beauty in life. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sam Stoner. And as per cross-cultural chapel tradition, I'll be reading some statistics from our trip. So total number of miles hiked, 44.12. Total time spent in an airplane to get there and back again, 38 hours. Total distance traveled, 20,302.66 miles. Average number of showers per person per week, about 2. Now, this one you might have been keeping up to date with via Facebook, but the number of high fives that M and I had from the time we left EMU to the time we returned, 2,143. You can ask anyone, we actually counted that. That's legit. The number of dogs hit by our bus, 1. It survived though, so it's okay. The number of hobbit holes seen, 44. That was awesome. The number of times Ryan and I quoted the great Bilbo Baggins and shouted, "We're going on an adventure!" The number of people who jumped off of a bridge with a latex cord tied around their ankles, 7. So there are about 7 sheep for every 1 person in New Zealand. That's a fact. And so the number of times that we were driving in the bus and M looked out the window and said, "Sheep!" 107. Okay, so this one takes a little bit of background information to understand. So the word kiwi means 3 things in New Zealand. It means the fruit and also the bird and also just the general thing to call the people. So the number of kiwis seen, 1. The number of kiwis talked to, quite a lot. And the number of kiwis ate, not enough. So I'll let you decide which one's which between all those. And finally, the number of adventures had, friendships strengthened, and memories made, way too many to count. So now we're gonna sing a song for you that we learned at the beginning of the trip. And we sang this at each of the Marae visits that we went to in the welcoming ceremony, which was called a pōwhiri for them. It's called Te Aroha. The words are both in Maori and English on the slide. So a word about pronunciation. The WF that you, or WH there that you see is actually pronounced with an F. So waka pono becomes faka pono. Sounds a little funny, but we had to get used to it. So yeah, we'll sing through this 3 times. Feel free to join us when if you feel led.
Dorothy Hershey, and I am representing the entire New Zealand cultural group in thanking our leaders, Jim and Kathy Yoder. Jim and Kathy, please join us on stage to receive our small gift of appreciation. Fearlessly led our group throughout the North and South Island of New Zealand. Their support and encouragement empowered us to step out of our comfort zone and embrace all New Zealand had to offer us. Their previous knowledge of the people and the land was both helpful and inspiring and gave the group courage to absorb all that we could of the people and their culture. Jim and Kathy, on behalf of the group, I'd like to thank both of you for all of the love and support you gave us during our stay in New Zealand. Experiencing New Zealand with you and your family meant so much to us all. To represent our gratitude, we would like to give you this bouquet of flowers and scrapbook filled with a few of our favorite pictures and memories of New Zealand. Thank you.